committee to order. Representative Loeffler, would you like to move the minutes of the Wednesday, March 2nd meeting?
Mr. Chair, and I would be honored to move the minutes of the March 2nd meeting.
Okay, all in favor of those minutes, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion prevails. We are laying over House File 751. Apparently, still needs more work, and groups are in discussion, so encourage them to discuss, because otherwise there won't be a bill. Representative Howes, are you ready? What's that?
Mr. Chairman, I would move House File 997 be recommended to pass and sent to... Mr. Chairman, would this be consent calendar material?
I don't know. Let's find out at the end.
Okay.
Representative House moves House File 997 be recommended to pass and re-refer to the General Register. Representative House.
Okay. Mr. Chairman and members, what this bill does is allows a bank in Pine River, Minnesota to establish a branch in Burns Township, which is in Anoka County. And according to Minnesota law, to put a bank in a township, you need legislative action. Once that's established, you still need a letter from the elected officials in that township, which we have here for you already, and then approval of Commissioner of Commerce. I have Jerry Taylor, an outside director, chairman of the board for the bank in Pine River. If you have any questions as to why we'd put a, they would want to put a bank in Burns Township, I can stand for questions.
Members, questions for members? Representative Pepin.
Yeah, Representative Hollis, I'm wondering, I guess I don't understand why banks can't be allowed in townships in the first place, and I'm just curious why you decided to have one exemption as opposed to just, I live in a township myself, and I would hope that if a bank wanted to come in, they could come in without me having to come in specifically for... with a specific bill.
Representative House.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bevan, I don't know why we have that current law. I see former Chairman Greg Davids here would probably might have the answer to that, but all I know under current law, if there's no bank in a township, you want to establish one, you need legislative action to do that.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative House, what cities are in Burns Township?
Representative House.
Well, the city that this is...
Burns Township, what's it?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative Davis, I don't think I can answer that question.
Mr. Chairman, Representative House, what city is closest to Burns?
This bank, this Representative House. Mr. Chairman, Representative Davis, the bank would be put in a town called Now There.
Now
There. Here?
Sorry, that's all I can.
When is it there?
Where? Are you serious, Representative House? What's it called?
Mr. Chairman, I'm serious. This is Representative Hackbar's district, so that might explain some of this.
It's by Elk River.
What's the name again?
It's no, about 5 miles away from Elk River.
By Elk Snout?
Elk River.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative I would simply say on this one that this can be a consent calendar item or it can be the 1994 NSP nuclear waste storage bill, and I've been through both ways. If the surrounding cities... If the bankers in the surrounding cities have no objection, it's really not a big deal, and that's what I'm trying to get at. What cities are around there, and are there objections from current bankers? If there's not, it's an easy one. If it is, maybe Mr. Pender, could you give a little, why do we have to do this? I know the city does chair the Commerce Committee. We had to do this long before that. Mr. Chairman, if Mr. Pender could give a little update.
Mr. Pender, could you enlighten us? You move.
Mr. Chair and Representative Davids, the reason the law says banks can't locate in townships is to prevent an end run around what's called the Home Office Protection Law, which says that if you want to locate a branch in a city that in which another bank has a home office, you can't do it unless you get the permission of that other bank. And so if we didn't prohibit banks locating in townships, that bank that wants to establish a branch could just establish one just outside the city limits of that city, and then they wouldn't be violating the Home Office Protection Law. So it's designed to kind of buttress the Home Office Protection Law.
How old is that law, Mr. Pender?
Um, Mr. Chair, I don't know, but it goes back a long time.
It's old.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Davis.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Davids, I'm not aware of any opposition, but you know, when approval is, an application is made to the to Commerce, they would notify probably a majority of the banks in that surrounding area that of what is happening.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, further questions? Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Howsett, so you have not contacted all the surrounding towns of where this bank is going to be located currently, but after it gets approved, then you're going to notify them that there's going to be a bank there. Is that what I'm hearing?
Representative House?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Severson, application will be have to be made through the Department of Commerce. Department of Commerce would notify banks in the area to see if there's any objection. And even if there was an objection, Commissioner of Commerce may not object. That's a decision that the Commissioner of Commerce would make. This is only the second one of these that I've done in my 7 years here. It's not only the second one I even aware of, but this is standard course for putting a bank in a township that does not have an existing bank.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Housen. I just wanted to add that I would not have asked that question except for whether or not smoke detectors are operated by battery or electrical hookup. So I appreciate it, Mr. Chair.
Appreciate it.
Further questions? Seeing none, is there any objections to this bill going to the consent calendar? Seeing none, Representative Howes.
Mr. Chairman, I renew my motion that House File 997 be recommended pass and sent to the consent calendar.
Okay. Representative Howes renews his motion. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Representative Rukavina. Representative Rukavina, do you have any further stops for your bill? Do you know of?
Consent calendar, Mr. Chair.
We'll see.
I don't believe that it would have to go anywhere else.
Okay. Representative Rukavina moves House File 12 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Journal Register.
That's fine, Mr. Chair. That would be my motion. Members, the reason House File 12 is here is I'll just give you a quick background. I got called by a constituent who said that they were having trouble finding dishwashers at a restaurant that served alcohol in my district. And her 16-and-a-half-year-old daughter, I believe she was 16-and-a-half at the time, wanted to hire her, but they found out they couldn't because in Minnesota you have to be 18 or older to work at an establishment that serves alcohol, even though you don't, you know, touch the alcohol. And so we called, I had my then legislative assistant call Department of Labor and Industry, and they said, yes, in fact, that's for law, but when she turns 17, she can apply for a variance here at the Department of Labor and Industry and the commissioner, through the commissioner's office, I believe, and they can grant a variance. Well, I thought that was rather strange, and I really didn't understand the need for the law and the need to get the commissioner's permission. And I assume, perhaps, and I don't even know the history of this, I've tried to find out that it might be from old prohibition days, or I don't know where the rule came from, but this is a departmental rule, and what this bill would allow would be for minors to of 16 or older to work in an establishment that serves alcohol as long as they're busting tables or washing dishes or whatever, and they're not serving the alcohol. It also, I think, it does allow for the rules then to be overridden immediately without going through the process where you've got to notify people on the rules. I also would like to say that, you know, I had a group of students that were down from a Burnsville high school. I don't know if there's several high schools in Burnsville or not, but they came around and they were. Researching bills for one of their classes, and they chose minimum wage bill, which, Mr. Chair, they supported the increase, and they also chose this bill, a number of them. And they said, why are you trying to stop us from working in establishments? I said, I'm not. I'm trying to help you. And two of them said, well, we're already working with the sort of alcohol. We started when we were 16 and a half. And I said, well, geez, I don't think you're supposed to. Are you sure you were 16 and a half? Well, maybe my friend was 17, but I don't think I was 17. I said, well, ask the owner of the restaurant if he knows he was supposed to get a variance for you. And she emailed me back, and she said, he didn't know, and we were working there before we were supposed to. So I think these are old, you know, archaic laws, and I see there's people from Department of Labor and Industry here who maybe could explain why they're in rule, but I would appreciate your support, and I think as long as they're not involved in any dispensing of alcohol or in that part of the establishment, that I, you know, the funniest thing about it was that I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that you can actually go into, under the department's rules, and play a guitar or play the drums if you're 16, but you can't wash dishes under their current rules. So, with that, I'd appreciate, you know, some common sense support by members of the committee, and I'd stand for any questions, and I believe someone from the hospitality industry here is here to testify on behalf of the bill, and I don't know if there's anybody testifying against the bill.
Welcome, Mr. Day. If you could introduce yourself, please, and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tom Day. I work for Hospitality Minnesota, the Minnesota Restaurant, Hotel, and Resort Associations. It's been a long time understanding of the associations that hosts and hostesses were also included, as well as bussers, to be in a room where liquor is served and or consumed. The relevant law, Minnesota Rules Part 5200.0910, provides that no minor under the age of 18 shall be employed in any rooms constituting a place in which intoxicating liquors of 3-2% of all liquors are served or consumed. The exception that is argued to apply is, number one, minors who have reached the age of 17 may be employed to perform busing or dishwashing services in those rooms or areas of a restaurant, hotel, motel, or resort where the presence of intoxicating liquor is incidental to food. So in some places they are allowed, but what we have argued
with the permission
of the commissioner as well. The problem that we have also is that there's a gray area between the definition of bussers and hosts and hostesses, and we've tried to work with the Department of Labor to find an exemption to allow them, since hosts and hostesses do also do some busing duties, which would be exempt under the current law, that we're trying to find a way to add a definition so that hosts and hostesses would also be included. And one of the problems that the Department of Labor has identified with that is their concern, as well as all of ours, is minors coming into contact with glasses with alcohol in them. And we have tried to make every assurance that if there is ever that type of problem, we would do everything we could to try and prevent that. As well, in talking to many of the establishments that do have host or hostesses or bussers that are in these areas where liquor is served and are consumed, they are not allowed to be taking orders. They are not allowed to be delivering drinks. They're merely performing the more menial duties of bringing somebody to their seat, handing them a menu, and then the busser's clearing the dishes. So we rise in strong support of this legislation and would also very much like to see hosts and hostesses added to it if at all possible.
Questions? Seeing none, thank you. Representative Leland?
Not a question.
I think there's possibly one more testifier. Ms. Wade, did you want to testify? Welcome, Commissioner. Could you please introduce yourself for the tape and proceed?
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Rosalyn Wade. I'm the Assistant Commissioner for the Workplace Services Division at the Department of Labor. That division includes the Labor Standards Unit, which enforces and administers the child labor provisions. The purpose of our request to testify today is not to be oppose the bill. The commissioner asked that I would provide the committee some information to describe the existing process that's in place. The existing process within the agency to accommodate special requests from individuals who would otherwise be prohibited from working allows a parent, a guardian, a school official, or a youth specialist to make a request to the department to exempt a minor from certain provisions of the child labor law. With regards to the area of law that limits an ability for a minor to work in an area where intoxicating liquors are sold or consumed, the existing law is fairly clear. It does make special, it basically prohibits the minor from working in a room where intoxicating liquors are served or consumed, and then it talks about a few exceptions. And the exceptions are, as stated previously, you may, at 17, you may provide busing or dishwashing service, and both a 16 and 17-year-old may provide musical entertainment. Now, certainly, all of you are aware that many of these laws were written at a time where we had a different economy. And that said, we do believe that there are processes in place to allow a representative of the minor to make a special request. The department has impressive history on responding to the requests of parents or the representatives of minors when minors have a unique talent or a special need that should be taken into consideration to allow them the opportunity for employment. Historically, the agency receives less than 300 requests for exemptions per year. Most recently, we saw a huge increase in the number of exemptions requested because the Minnesota Youth Athletic Association became aware that they needed exemption to allow under 14-year-olds to act as referees. Once the law was amended to allow for that exception, we went right back to our normal course of business, processing about 300 requests for exemptions per year. That said, the agency is committed to responding to these requests in a very timely manner. For the past 3 years, we've had a performance measure to process these requests within 2 days of receipt. And in the last 2 years, less than 15 requests have been denied. And so my point in sharing this information is to demonstrate that certainly we are aware that there are varying needs within the different regions of the state and so forth, but we do believe that there are processes in place that continues to put the minor's interests first. What the department looks for in processing the exemption permits is if the employee have a unique need or a special talent that they should be given due consideration. And I think we're quite responsive to the needs that are brought to our attention by both the employer and the representatives of the minors.
Yeah. Questions from members? I think Representative Liebling had signaled earlier. Why don't we do questions? First, you have something you want to do, I think, after that. Representative Surge and Representative Hamilton.
Okay, well, I've known Representative Rufina for quite a while, and he's always stood up for the minors, ER. This might have something to do with a more statewide perspective when he starts standing up for the minors, OR, so this sounds like a pretty good bill that way, Representative Rukavina.
Are you confused, Representative Rukavina?
I follow him. Nobody has more minors than me in their district. ER.
Representative Hamilton.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Assistant Commissioner Wade, can you give me an example or a couple of examples of why requests would be denied in your department?
Commissioner Wade.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hamilton, let me see. Requests would be if not denied, challenged if the exemption application did not include specifically what the specific need was for the minor. For instance, the law specifically require that the parent, a guardian, a school official, or a work counselor request the permit. If there's no indication on that exemption permit that those individuals representing the employee's interest has not been informed of that this is a prohibited occupation that the employer is pursuing, at first glance, the agency would contact whoever made the request and say, this should come from the employee's representative, the minor's representative. We want to ensure that the parents are aware that the minor could be working in an area that would otherwise be prohibited. If the exemption permit says something like, this kid thinks it'll be a good idea to, thinks this kind of work would be fun. Things like the construction industry where there is greater exposure to hazardous processes, power-driven machinery. In that instance, the request would probably be denied because there's a long list of exemptions that speak to a hazardous work site. Hazardous in terms of processes, heavy equipment, things of that nature. There's also a section on the exemption permit that speaks specifically to what type of training or supervision the minor will have while performing this otherwise prohibited occupation. If the employer does not provide sufficient evidence to demonstrate that the minor welfare will be taken into serious consideration and appropriate supervision will be provided, that may lead to the request being denied. But as I said, in the last 2 years, less than 15 applications have been denied. Most often we are able to work with an employer to ensure that both the employer needs are realized and that the minor's welfare is considered.
Other questions? Representative Simpson, you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just suggest maybe to the author that if this should pass today and we get to the House floor, perhaps an amendment would be good for to include that host and hostess situation. So we consider that.
Chair and Representative Simpson, certainly. And I didn't want to leave that out. I thought it would have been covered. But if there was a concern on the definition, I would certainly include that in there as an amendment when we get to the House floor. But I do want to say, members, this, you know, although at times I don't maybe exhibit it, common sense is one thing I like to, you know, see applied around here. And in this case, I there is none, and no one can tell me what the explanation is for someone being able to play a drum or a guitar in a establishment that serves alcohol and to not have to go get permission from the Department of Labor and Industry versus somebody that's going to be a hostess or wash dishes. So, you know, I realize that they can apply, but the point being, why? Just think we could save all that cost, Commissioner Wade, and to the department, and you wouldn't have to monkey around that stuff. And it's us folks that write the laws here, and this is something that needs to be addressed because in the case of my constituent, her daughter wouldn't have been able to work there for another 6 months. And under the current rules that are written, I think it makes sense. I don't think, and quite frankly, the email from the Burnsville students documented this. How many of you, look, we have Representative Mo here, Representative Saylor, Representative Howes, that represent resort areas. And I know I've been to resorts where there's alcohol served, where I've been waited on and had a hostess that I sure looked, you know, under 18 to me, but then again, a lot of people look under 18 to me nowadays, so, you know, I could be wrong, but I think there's a lot of employers out there that don't even realize that this law exists, because I've been in a lot of establishments in my area even that I'm sure that there are kids working that are washing dishes, bussing tables, hostessing, that are not applying for this, and I guess under current law, current rules, are breaking the law.
Further questions? Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, or I guess Assistant Commissioner Wade, I guess, you know, if there's so few denied, it begs the question, why are we wasting the commissioner's time to have to go through this in the first place? I mean, it seems like a very reasonable bill. And my second point would be, you know, might be better in committee to clean up with the Holstein hostesses in there. You know, I've always been a stickler for making sure the law is very clear, but even sometimes Representative Rukavina, when the law is clear, sometimes some boards still can't read it, if you know what I mean.
I know.
Representative Rukavina.
I agree.
Mr. Chairman, I think we should, it's I know we got the 24-hour rule, this is pretty minor, and the intent is there to have it there. I don't know, Mr. Pender, is there some way we could just clean that up, put Holstein hostesses rather than on the House floor? Or whoever. Who's that sitting next to you there?
As long as you handle it.
Mr. Chair, Representative Davids, I think if we amended page 1, line 15, and put in a comma after busing, deleted the or, put in a comma after dishwashing, and put it insert and hosting services. Or hosting services. And then again in page 1, line 20, after busing, delete, put in a comma, insert a comma, delete the or. After dishwashing, insert a comma, insert or hosting services.
Mr. Chairman.
Chair, I would incorporate that as a friendly amendment.
If there's no objection, since there is a 24-hour rule, but I think it is fairly minor, if seeing no objections, we'll do that. Representative Rukavina incorporates that. Does the Mr. Freeman, do you have that? Okay. Representative Mullery?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure which one to ask this of. Under present law and rules, would this exclude the, like, two fairly well-known musicians, Scott Joplin, Jerry Lee Lewis, grew up playing in liquor establishments? Is that prohibited under Minnesota law then? If they're, can they plan? I think, didn't Stevie Wonder also do that? I'm not sure, but.
I think Kid Johnny Langdon.
Reverend. Representative Rukavina, what about Stevie Wonder?
Would these be all excluded under...
Mr. Chair, no. That was my point, Representative Mullery. You can play the guitar if you're 16, but you can't wash a dish.
Okay.
That's why it doesn't make sense. But maybe we...
But you have to be good.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll be washing dishes.
Presumably. This is a fallback position. Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to Commissioner, or Assistant Commissioner Wade, is there a provision in the existing statutes in other areas that prohibits minors under 18, though, working in adult-oriented establishments? I know in Minneapolis we have a couple of strip clubs, adult entertainment venues that probably wouldn't be appropriate for someone to be employed as a host or hostess at, but... I assume that that's addressed in some other part of law, but would like to be reassured that.
Commissioner Wade?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I'm not aware of a specific provision in statute or rule that speaks to adult entertainment. There is a catch-all provision within the child labor law that indicates that a minor may be prohibited from working in any occupation that the department or the commissioner determines to be hazardous to life, limb, or the welfare of minors. Certainly, the commissioner would agree that a minor working in an adult entertainment establishment is not in the best welfare of the minor. But no specific provision prohibiting that.
Representative Loeffler?
Mr. Chairman, I think that's an issue we can address. I think this makes a lot of sense. I mean, we shouldn't be denying 16 and 17-year-olds a chance to earn money to save for college. And have, I mean, I'm sure that they're discriminated against in terms of getting that part-time job just because you have to go through all this rigmarole. And so I think this makes a lot of sense, but I'd be glad to work and see if there's any need to further address that. Perhaps the city of Minneapolis and other places that license that already cover it in the licensing process.
Well, Mr. Chair,
it could be Representative Rukavina.
Ms. Long, maybe you can correct me, but I think I'm hoping my bill just it really applies to establishments that serve liquor that happen to be restaurants. And I can understand what you're saying, as long as you're talking about minors with an OR instead of an ER, because then you know my minors might be a little incensed at your slip on words, excuse me, incensed at your proposal. Am I blushing, Mr. Chair? I hope not.
Further question?
I think Representative Curtis is blushing over there.
I usually say mind your P's and Q's, but mind your O's and E's.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, members, you have Amendment A1 in your packets. I don't have any problem with Representative Rukavina's bill, but I think that if we're talking about protecting minors, I think it's really important to recognize that minors who are working in places where liquor is served in the state of Minnesota right now are being exposed to environmental tobacco smoke. Under age 18, we don't let them smoke legally, and I think we should protect them from breathing environmental tobacco smoke. And, you know, I realize this probably does have some economic impact, but to that I would say that we don't let minors work in coal mines either, even though when we, they gave up some economic interest there when they stopped working in coal mines. So, I think it's pretty self-explanatory, and I am going to ask for a roll call vote on the amendment.
Yep. Representative Liebling, as you know, the committee has a 24-hour rule on substantive amendments. And if there's agreement, unanimous agreement of the committee, we can waive that. But otherwise, I'd have to rule that the amendment out of order. I'm trying to do that fairly for all bills. As Representative Rukavina knows, I made that ruling on one of his amendments, and I'd make it on, you know, when he's the author of the bill, too.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would just say that I did miss the time limit by a little bit. I did make the chair aware of the amendment yesterday, and there have been instances where the chair has been a little bit flexible on that. So I think it's a pretty simple amendment. It doesn't really require much explanation. I think that members really should be on record about whether they're willing to protect the health of kids from tobacco smoke.
Representative Liebling, I am flexible, and the committee is flexible, and there's some unanimity there. So comments from members? Representative Hamilton?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Liebling, how do we address the issue of these same children that live in homes of parents that smoke? How do we protect them?
Representative Liebling?
Well, Representative Hamilton, there are a lot of things that happen in people's homes that we don't extend government power to intervene on. However, we do protect. The bill that we're talking about is about the state's police power, if you will, to intervene and protect children in the workplace. And what I'm proposing is really no different than that. I think it's a perfectly appropriate use of the state's police power to say when we're going to protect children and from what we're going to protect them in the workplace.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Rukavina.
Sure, since it is my bill and I am Representative Levin had asked me what I thought about this idea yesterday in an email, and I kind of told her what I thought about it very politely, and I really don't want it attached to this bill. I have a specific reason for doing this, a constituent that I promised I would do this for. It was a common sense issue as far as what I thought should be legislative authority or legislative law instead of executive rule law. And I really don't want the whole tobacco issue, which we already had a hearing on the other day, attached to this bill, so I would oppose the and support you on that, since my minimum wage bill was in here for a month before I offered it as an amendment, and you still wouldn't let me do it there. So.
Representative House, did you have a? Do you want
to? Well, Mr. Chairman, you said that, you wouldn't allow an amendment under the 24 without the 24-hour rule unless you had unanimous approval of the committee.
Mm-hmm.
I think Representative Rukavina made his position clear, and I would agree with Representative Rukavina.
Representative Wofler, I'm going to rule the Liebling. I'm sorry. You're so new. I'm going to rule the amendment out of order.
Mr. Chair, could I just ask a question?
Yes. Representative Clark.
It's just a process question. You said you've done this before, that you've ruled an amendment in here out of order if it didn't come in 24 hours ahead of time?
Yes.
I guess I missed that.
I think we've been very consistent with that, Representative Clark.
So you've done that once before, and you intend all the way through. So if we have any amendments, anyone has any amendments in this committee, unless there's unanimous approval, we're not going to consider them. If they don't come in, you know, 24 hours ahead of time.
Representative Clark, if they're, what we try to do is be consistent and fair with everybody's bill. Since we have a 24-hour rule, we try to stick to that. If there's technical amendments, as there often are, as staff finds problems that we need to fix with bills, I've run those by Representative Mullery for the most part ahead of time when we can. If people bring things that where there's unanimity, where there's minor changes, we'll entertain those. As we get further down the process, and if, frankly, as we might end up putting bills on with not a lot of notice on the calendar, I think we need to provide some flexibility and some common sense with the rule at that point. But this bill was noticed last week, either on Thursday or Friday. So I think there was ample opportunity to amend at that point.
So I'll be clear in the process for future, because I think there's going to be people on the other sides of issues that really don't have a chance to get it to you 24 hours ahead of time, and they're going to want the flexibility. And if you're going to be consistent all the way through, I think that's okay. If you're not, then...
I'm Representative Clark, I'm trying my best to be consistent with it, because I know there's a fairness issue with it.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I think, you know, it's just a judgment call of the chair, you know, about the flexibility that you want. This, it sounds like this amendment would probably go down, you know, but... I don't know. It's told that you are the chair and you can decide. I just think you're maybe going to get into a box a little bit later that might be a little hard to get out.
We will. As I said, I'm trying to be consistent, and we'll try to have as much common sense as possible. Mm-hmm. If as people have proper notice on bills that they're going to be on the calendar, so I do rule the amendment out of order. Representative Rukavina, or members have any further questions?
Just, Mr. Chairman, a quick comment.
Representative
Mull. I'd just like to support, voice my support for the bill. Representative Rukavina, as a 16-year-old, I was bussing tables in an establishment that served liquor, and it was in a single-parent household, and that money came in very handy. And
Mr. Chair, can we retroactively charge someone with a crime?
Representative Mullery.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't know. I was going to vote for this bill, but if it caused someone like that, I got to rethink.
He went and became a politician. Right. Representative Rukavina renews his motion that House File 12 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the General Register as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, members.
We are adjourned.